Thanks, Sylvia. Might be in the dark a little bit for you out there in Zoom land, but hopefully everybody can hear me. Just feel free to interrupt me on the computer if you can't. I'm going to try to be doing like a 180 here and try to make sure everybody can hear and see. I just want to start by thanking everybody for your patience and feedback and prayers as we go through this time, as we try to navigate all the voices, as Sylvia just said, and figure out how we are as a church community in the coming weeks. We are, just needing your prayers and grace in that as we go, and your feedback and your thoughts. So at the end of this, as I said, you'll get a survey in the email, or if you need a paper copy, let me know, that allows us to hear what are you feeling as far as gathering together again. And so use that opportunity to help us understand how we can best be a community together in this time. So we're going to talk today about Psalm 45. I don't know if you heard as they were reading, Carl read that, hopefully you were able to hear it. And I don't know if you noticed, a lot of scriptures that we were listening to today are a little different maybe than we often talk about. The scriptures today were much more poetic. And that's a piece of the Psalms, and the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon especially. There's poetry and beauty and extravagance in these things that we don't often think about when we think about the Bible. But it gives us a view of God that I think is so important and so helpful. So thanks, Mary Ann, so much for adding that Song of Songs piece to help intro us into our sermon this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can stay open to Psalm 45. We're going to be talking about that. And also don't forget, hopefully next week or in the coming weeks, we can also hear from some people about a psalm that's been on your heart, either that you memorized, or you have some thoughts to share, or you have an art thing to share. So I'm going to show you a picture that Hudson drew this week. Let me quick pull it up here. Sorry about this. This week, Hudson drew a picture of Jesus, and I thought it fits so well. Excuse my clicking around here. That I wanted to share it with everybody as we get started here. Hold on 1 second. Hold it, wait for it. There it is. Now you guys can see it, but not everybody else can. Let me see here. Thanks for your patience. See, I knew that I asked for patience for a reason. All right. You can see that now. I got to get it big. All right. Here we go. All that for that. All right. This is Hudson's picture of Jesus this week. I just found it. I didn't even ask him to draw it, but I thought it fits so well with our theme this week of thinking about our King. So the sign says, it's Jesus on a cross. And it says, Our King, which is a great title for Jesus, right? Our King. So that was one, if you want to take a psalm and make an artistic expression of that psalm, that's one way that we love to share the psalms together. So as you think about what psalm to share with the congregation, again, you can memorize one, you can share some thoughts, or you can make a picture. What do you think about of a psalm that you could share with us to help us visualize it? And of course, many of you have seen this picture. It's of another picture of Jesus. This is the picture that Marianne used in our prayer visual at the front of our church since the beginning of the year. It's all the nations coming before Jesus and bowing down with the lion and the lamb. I know it's hard to see here. Hopefully you guys at home can see it. So two very different expressions of Jesus, and yet two expressions that help us to visualize these things about God that we can't see. And that's such an important part of God as spirit, and yet us as having this very physical dimension. How do we help visualize and imagine the things of God in ways that we can see and understand? And some of you are very artistic and can help us do that. So help us by using your artistic gifts, like Liz Hess did in this painting or Hudson did in the picture before, to help us understand and think about who God is. Or maybe you're like me and you're not as visual. I can't draw a picture to save my life. Hudson is already ahead of me in his visual artistic ability. But words come easier to me. So maybe there's some words that you think about as you think about Jesus. I was reminded this week, Dallas Willard wrote that if you had to make a list of your top 10 smartest people in the world, would Jesus be on that list? 10 people in history. Would Jesus be on that list? I was like, I don't know if I would put Jesus on that list off the top of my head if I was just asked that question. Or the top 10 most beautiful people in the history of the world. Of course, who can be qualified to answer that since we haven't seen everybody in the world? I don't know if I think of Jesus as like, wow, he's beautiful. Or the top 10 most powerful people in the history of the world. Would Jesus be on that list? I was challenged by that this week as I thought about that. I don't know if Jesus would come to my mind as on any of those lists if I was just asked that point blank. But I also wonder if just in our daily lives, how much we see Jesus as the expert in everything we do. In our cooking, cleaning, fixing, building, growing, talking, sleeping, eating. Do we see Jesus as an expert, as being the one that knows more than anybody else about every single piece of our life? I'm just sharing these questions because these are challenging for me this week as I thought about Jesus. I think I often, and maybe I'm not alone, maybe I am, kind of keep Jesus in a nice little box off to the side of my life, you know, like, well, Jesus is good for my spiritual life because I know I'm a Christian and I do the Jesus things in my Christian part of my life. But then in my other parts of my life, you know, Jesus, he's probably not real in touch with that stuff. You know, he's not really, his stuff isn't really applicable to the daily stuff. Or sometimes we say he's not really in tune with reality, you know. But I think if Jesus is the creator of the universe and the one who holds it all together, of course, he knows about every single part of our lives. And in fact, he knows the most about every single part of our lives. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about Psalm 45. Jesus, the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus, not even mentioned in Psalm 45. What is all this talk about Jesus? I know you can't ask that because it's church and you can never ask why we're talking about Jesus so much at church, right? But the fact is, as we remember, even with Song of Songs, as Marianne led us in, that Jesus is all through the Old Testament as well. Even before Jesus came, there were all these pictures about who Jesus was and what he wanted to accomplish on the earth. And those things help us understand the spiritual realities in our very physical world. That's in fact why God sent Jesus as a person, so we could see him, so we could hear him, so we could taste. Well, I don't know about taste, but you get the idea, so that he's in our physical reality. And this Psalm 45, even before Jesus came to earth, the Jewish people believed that Psalm 45 was talking about the Messiah. And not only was it for a Jewish king, but it was also painting a picture of the Messiah that was to come. And so as we read this psalm, thinking about Jesus, we just want to look at a few thoughts about what do we learn about Christ, and then also the bride of Christ, even as Song of Songs that Marianne Red was talking about. What do we see about the bride of Christ, which Paul makes clear is us as the church in this? And I think it was refreshing for me to read this because it takes it out of theology and concepts and puts it into beauty and poetry and glory, things that we don't often talk about Jesus at. So I want to talk through this psalm a little bit, and maybe it'll help remind us or expand our thinking about Jesus. I'm going to stop the screen share so we can see each other again. Everybody out there, are you hearing me okay? Joanna, can you hear me okay? Nice. All right. So Psalm 45, you have your Bibles. We're going to walk through this psalm a little bit very quickly here. So if we think about this as pointing to Christ, what do we learn about Jesus from this psalm? Well, the first thing we learn about Jesus is that he is the most excellent of men, with lips anointed with grace. And then in verses 3 to 7, it starts listing off these things like, he is exceedingly mighty. He rules with majesty and strength. He fights for truth and righteousness. He hates evil and he rides forth on the mantle of truth. I don't know about you, but is this talking about Jesus or Superman, you know? Doesn't that sound like Superman? Riding forth to defend the truth with power, exceeding power. So I guess we could also ask, if you had your top 10 list of superheroes, would Jesus be on that list? Of course, he's not a mythical being, but some of those things that we often think of superheroes and maybe not attributing to Jesus is riding forth with power and might on the side of goodness and truth. That's a part of who Jesus is as well. And then it goes on and says, not only is he strong and powerful, but if we look down at verses 8 and 9, it says things like his garments are clothed in perfumes. The music of strings accompanies him, and his bride is wearing the gold of Ophir. I didn't have time to do research on Ophir. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like something pretty beautiful and pretty valuable. And those are two things that I think maybe we don't always think about Jesus. Again, do we think of Jesus as beautiful, as elegant, and as fabulously wealthy? Right? These things about ivory and garments, perfume, you know, this is giving us a picture of Jesus that he is the most wealthy thing we can imagine. He's way more than that. And in our tradition, and maybe in our area, wealth has not been something that we're real comfortable with, traditionally. When I was in Indonesia, I was part of a church originally in Jakarta that was filled with businessmen that were quite wealthy, actually. And one time, the pastor of the church took me to a house of a guy who was amazingly wealthy, like unbelievably wealthy. And the house wasn't that big, but it was like, I mean, it was like in the city, so the lot wasn't that big, but it was like three stories and had like statues from Europe inside and wood from Australia and waterfalls and ivory, and there was marble from somewhere. And I just sat in this house like, I am so uncomfortable in this house. And I told that to the pastor. I said, Bobby, I am so uncomfortable here. And he said, I realized in that moment that I grew up with such an aversion to wealth and luxury and opulence that I couldn't see this man as a brother. All I saw was that he was wealthy, and so somehow I couldn't relate, or even that he was somehow evil or something in my heart as I processed that thought. But here we see that Jesus himself is wealthy. So wealth must not be a bad thing, right? Of course, if our hearts are selfish and we're accumulating things to ourselves, I don't know this man's heart who I visited. If we're just accumulating things for ourselves, of course, selfishness and greed is not the way of Jesus. But the reality is that as we think about Jesus, he owns, as it says in another psalm, the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns everything. And I think sometimes we forget that about Jesus, that he also is fabulously beautiful, fabulously wealthy. And then in verse 10, it turns to the bride. It starts talking about this beautiful bride that is with Jesus. Just like Marianne and Sarah Beth told us in Song of Songs. So it starts off in verse 10. It says, forget your old people, your father's house. And if we use that as a metaphor for following Jesus, it's talking about forgetting our old way of life, our identities that get built up around us of who we are and who we try to make ourselves and who we try to portray to others as people on the earth. So we could find those things by thinking about if you have to finish the sentence, I am. What's the most important, crucial word that fits at the end of that sentence? It probably takes some self-reflection to get down deep enough to really understand what do I most think that I am as far as my identity? What defines that identity in the deepest part of me? For many of us, it's our family. We hear people say, oh, I'm like this because I am maybe your last name, or because I am maybe your occupation, or because I am maybe your nationality. But this psalm reminds us that our core identity as bride of the King is that we belong to Jesus. We don't know anything else about this bride except that she is part of the King's family now. That's the only thing that this psalm tells us. Everything else seems to fade away in the midst of what it means to be part of the King's family, to be his bride, which of course is the common New Testament image for the church with Christ. It even goes on to say, like, people will honor you. Even the wealthy and the powerful of the land will honor you. Talking to the bride, not to the King. Why will they honor her? Because she's with him. Not because of anything she's done, not because of anything she's produced, but only because she's with the King. And this is glorious news. Talks about her being strikingly beautiful. Why? Because the King has made her that way. Because he has poured out his grace and wealth and abundance on her. It's got nothing to do with her. So we realize again as we read this psalm that our joy, our honor, everything that defines us comes from being with the King. And nothing that we ourselves produce, certainly nothing that we consume. He has chosen us. You. He has chosen you. He said, come and be near me. And all these pictures of beauty and glory and joy are now ours because we are chosen. There's one thing I would encourage you to sit with this week is that I am chosen. What does that do to us when we know that we are chosen? But often, if we're honest, I know for myself, we base our identities on all kinds of things. And our joy and our honor, what it means to be honorable, what it means to be joyful, what we need to be joyful becomes what I do or what I accomplish or what other people say about me. As I've challenged you many times to think through in this time of disruption and chaos, what has God been speaking to you? And hopefully we continue to have times. I've heard from many of you things that God has taught you through this time of disruption, through this time of opening ourselves. God, what is coming out of me and why is this coming out of me? And I've told you many things. One of the things that's come out for me is, where is my identity? And God is, as I've watched how I've reacted in different situations and things I've felt and things I've carried, I've realized that there's some holes in my identity that I didn't know were there. And God's been so gracious to help me walk through that and begin to strengthen some very weak places in my heart that came out because of the disruption and chaos that we've been walking through. And I'm so thankful. We've not been meeting together, and church is one of those things that often can become part of our identity. It can become part of how we see ourselves, how we grade ourselves. Can you hear me? All right, somebody else. All right. Church. So we were thinking about, so some of this time is, what does church mean for us? And we're going to keep talking about that through the summer. Is church part of our identity, or is it being with Jesus that is part of our identity? This is a great space to let God show us that. Because sometimes, if you grew up in the church, at least, going to church can be like the main thing. You know, as long as you go to church, you're okay. You can be, you know, greedy, a jerk, and a liar, but as long as you go to church on Sunday, you're fine. And there's many people in our country that have that assumption. And maybe this time can help us think about, maybe we have that assumption. Or maybe it's not going to church. Maybe it's another religious activity or a club that we're in, or an occupation that we do, or, of course, the political party that we're a part of. All these things can quickly become our identity. And then even though they're fine in themselves, can often take us away from Jesus. I've seen that in my own life so many times. So it's not that these things are wrong, of course. But today we're reminded through Psalm 45 that God is calling us to ground our identity in Jesus. We are chosen. I know somebody's shouting hallelujah, at least in their hearts, right? And this psalm paints such a beautiful picture of that glory and honor that flows from Jesus to us because we are with him. What an amazing thought, that the glory and honor of heaven flows over us because he has chosen us and called us to be with him. So as we see this psalm, I was praying this week, and I'm praying this morning that our vision of Jesus would be expanded and our vision of ourselves as his bride would be expanded. Can you hear the wisdom and gracious words flowing from his mouth for every situation that we face? He has them. Can you smell the wonderful scent of his garments? Can you hear the beautiful music that accompanies Jesus wherever he goes? And can you see yourself next to him, clothed in his glory? Can you see it? The psalm helps us paint that picture. But I think there is nothing better we could do this afternoon, this week, or next week, is just to take time and continue to allow our imaginations to help us understand what it means to be chosen as the bride of Christ. And just sit there and soak in that reality. That with all the other emotions, craziness, anything else that we're feeling or thinking, that what would become primary and the biggest reality of our hearts and minds is that we are chosen. And as we read last year in Ephesians, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, clothed with his majesty. That's awesome. And that carries us through all the chaos of this life. That carries us through all the disruptions and the shame and the confusion and the fear that so often overcomes us. Chad and Stacy helped me this week by reminding me and saying that they want to continue to choose joy in the midst of the struggle. And Cheryl said today about leaning into joy, and part of that is also finding helpful ways to lament the pain and the loss that we've experienced in different ways for all of us over this time. And all of those things that are intentional steps to walk through the pain and stay grounded in our identity as the chosen bride of Christ allows us to continue to find stability and hope and joy in the midst of it. And if we don't, then we quickly be overcome by anger, which turns to bitterness, fear, which turns to just terror, all these things that would lead us into death. As we read Psalm 45, let's let it lead us into life in all the ways that Jesus is calling us as his bride. Let's pray together as we finish. So I'd like you guys, if you have your, I'd just like you to close your eyes. We don't always have to close our eyes to pray, but in this case, let's just close our eyes. And I'm just going to ask these questions again. If you can just imagine Jesus, whether it's Hudson's picture or Liz Hess's picture or anywhere in between, whatever picture is in your mind of Jesus, or some of these things from Psalm 45 that we've talked about. I'm just going to ask these questions again as we experience Jesus with our physical senses through our imagination. As you think about Jesus, can you hear the wisdom and gracious words that flow from his mouth for every situation that we find ourselves in? Can you imagine? Can you hear the gracious wisdom flowing from his mouth? And can you see him clothed with power and majesty, riding forth to destroy evil and release goodness and truth everywhere he goes? Can you smell the wonderful scent of his garments? Can you hear the beautiful music that accompanies him, the music of strings everywhere he goes? And in all that glory, can you see yourself next to him, seated with him, his glory and beauty and wealth flowing over you? So we honor you today, Jesus. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you said that you would come and teach us all things. So I ask you today again for each of us here as we sit with Psalm 45, with the Song of Songs, would you expand our view of you, Jesus? And would you expand our understanding of what it means to be seated with you in heavenly places? Would you reveal any lesser identities that we try to make core and that lead us away from you? And would you call us, God, to deeper and bigger revelation of who you are and what you want to do? So we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this space. Thank you for this community. And we continue to pray that as a community, our hearts would be grounded and centered and focused on who you are and who you have called us to be. We welcome you speaking that over our lives again today. In Jesus' name, amen.